Looking for the smile. There it is.
We can start. I hope you started already. These songs have been ministering to us as we've been listening to them. And it's good that we come. We're always encouraged to come a little early so we can just get our mind on the Lord and prepare our hearts to come into His presence. I wonder if you do that at home. When you go to the house of God, do you prepare your heart? Sometimes people come to church and everyone's talking, and then the minister says, okay, let's start the meeting. Sit down. And so they do. And that's strange to us because in our fellowship, and I'm sure many other places, people are taught to prepare your heart to come into God's presence. We have so many things on our mind that we need to just sort of lay aside so we can focus on Jesus and be sensitive to His Spirit. Praise God. And so when we hear these songs, we think about the words. Sometimes we close our eyes and we just let the Lord just begin to work in us already. And then when the meeting starts, officially, well, it started already in our hearts. And so we don't waste any moment in our time together. That's just a little side note. Okay, let's sing number 34 in the White Book. Every moment of every day. That just about covers it all, doesn't it? Every moment of every day. Praise God. That's how we live, right? Hallelujah. Every moment. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Of a brother that we knew from the Williamsburg church named Brother Baez. I've told the story. Some of you have heard it many times. Some of you have never heard it. But I think it's worth repeating tonight. And I don't want these guys to miss it, so I'm going to wait. Welcome. Thank you for your hard work. And for your whatever that was. Brother Baez was a Mexican man. I'm looking to see if any of his relatives are here, because sometimes they are. And he had a large family, and he had to work hard to support his family. And he was a waiter in, I think, Manhattan, in some very busy restaurant. And he worked there for a number of years. And he got word that one of his relatives died in Mexico, so he flew down to Mexico City. And he was picked up by a cousin of his, someone I think that he grew up with as a boy. And this cousin, I suppose, also had opportunity to follow the Lord, but chose rather to pursue a career and to pursue riches and comforts and so on, and did very well along those lines. He was very capable. I think he was some sort of architect. And as he was... after the funeral, I believe it was, they had a family gathering and a dinner together. And this uncle, I think he was flipping the bill. And he got up and he began to talk about all his great accomplishments and the buildings that he had designed and the millions that he had made. I don't know that I have all the specifics, but this is the gist of it. And then he turned to Antonio, who was just a simple waiter. And he said, Antonio, what are your goals in life? What have you accomplished? What are you seeking to accomplish? And you sort of got the sense when he told the story that this cousin was just trying to make him look foolish or just kind of embarrass him in front of the others. So Antonio stood up and he said, thank you. And he reached into his pocket and he took out a little New Testament that was rather worn from use. And he turned to the Gospel of Matthew, and there he turned to the passage where it speaks of John the Baptist baptizing Jesus in water. And when Jesus came up out of the waters, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended upon him in the bodily shape of a dove. I think that's told us in Luke. But then it says, and a voice spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And Antonio closed his Bible and said, that's my desire. That's my ambition, that one day my Heavenly Father will be able to say, this is my child, my beloved child, and I'm well pleased with him. He said, with that, his rich cousin began to break down in tears and weep. And weep. And he said, Antonio, he said, you chose the best. Somehow the Spirit of God came upon him at that moment, and he thought about the choices that he had made in life, and all the time and energy and effort and years spent pursuing riches and prestige and so on. And here, this humble waiter chose the best. True. That's the best. You can't make a better choice than that. Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. Oh, maybe you'll become an architect. That's okay. And maybe God will bless you with riches. Talk to me when that happens. But but it's all for His glory, everything we do. The Bible says everything we do, everything we say, is for His glory, to please Him. And God put that desire in Brother Baez's heart when he was young, and he took it seriously, and he had to make some hard choices along the way, but he chose to live to please Jesus, not himself. And he's been such a blessing to so many over the years. God used him in that restaurant to witness to many people. And he made him such a blessing in our churches. And this story, if this was the only thing he left with us, this wonderful story of a man that wanted to please God and saw the value in that above everything the world had to offer, that would be a life worth living in itself, wouldn't it? I cry every time I tell that story. Why? Because it rings true. It rings true. The Holy Spirit says, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that will live to please me. They're my treasure. They were worth dying for. Everything I suffered to find someone who so loves me and so lives to please me, it was worth it all. Praise God. And the wonderful thing about it is we can all make that choice. And if you haven't made it yet, you can make it now. And you can say, Lord, put that resolve in me. Lord, I'm going to have to make a lot of decisions. I'm a teenager, and they seem to all be flooding in on me. Questions and choices. But let me choose to please Jesus in everything, and you'll help me to make the right decisions. If that's my desire, that's my goal. And for us older ones, I'm finally in that category, unfortunately. We still have to live that way all the time. Praise God. And so let's ask the Lord to help us, to put that into us. That's a light that shines from heaven into your soul that will guide you on the right path all the days of your life. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for lives that are lived like that, that you have brought us in contact with, or we've heard about. People that have so given themselves to the Lord, so wholly followed Jesus, that this world meant nothing to them. It didn't attract them, Lord. They didn't waste their time pursuing the things that everybody runs after, but they heard a higher call, and they strove to please you in everything, Lord, and you honored them for it. Your word says that you honor those that honor you. And Lord, we see how you honor those that really put you first. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that tonight we can, by your grace, say yes to you and yes to your call. And Lord, that you can put that cry in our heart that one day we too might hear, well done, good and faithful servant, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, with whom I'm well pleased. Lord, only you can bring it about in our life. But Jesus, you can. You're willing, and you're ready, as we've sung, and you're able. And so we dare to make that commitment to you and trust you to fulfill it in us day by day, step by step. Even tonight, let more of the working of the Holy Spirit bring about what Jesus is after in our lives. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you.
mother tells me that she came to Pilgrim Camp when she was 16 years old. And she's going to be 85 this year. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Thou art of old, our rock and our salvation. And she talks about how wonderful Jesus is still to this day. You could say something if you like, sure.
Well, I'm so in love with Jesus. He's everything to me. He's my life, my strength, my breath. And I came to him when I was 17 years old. I came to camp, and I went to my aunt's church, Lucy and Petrocchio, he saw it. But she brought me to camp, and I had a wonderful experience with the Lord. I just fell so in love with Jesus. When I went home, I just was so thrilled by the thought of Jesus. And my mother was a very strict Catholic. And she said to me, seemed the enemy was ready for this. She says, you know, Lucy, I know you love me. And of all my children, I know you love me the most. She said, but don't ever change from being a Catholic. Because that's the only way. I said, you know, Ma, I love you. But one day I'm going to change because I felt like God met me. Well, my mother went crazy. Well, she got so angry. But you know, eventually she asked me to leave home, and when I could come a Catholic again, I could come home. But Jesus became so precious to me during that time that I just fell in love with him more. And eventually she asked me to leave home. And Jesus just took me in more. I went there with my Aunt Lucy. They were Christians. And I just fell in love with Jesus. And that was when I was 17. I'm going to be 85 in August. And you know what? Jesus has become even more wonderful. Every day with Jesus grows more wonderful. It's so wonderful how he just loves us and embraces us. And all he wants is our love, our adoration, to accept him as our very own, his very own. And I challenge you tonight, give Jesus your heart. He's so precious. You'll never be satisfied outside of Christ. Once you've had a touch of Jesus and you feel your presence, you'll never be happy outside of this world, in the world. And just pray every day, Jesus, keep me close to your heart. Draw me closer to you, Jesus. Help me to love you more. There's no better love, greater love than the love of God. Fall in love with Jesus. It's worth it all when we see Jesus. He's so precious. I can't even explain to him how wonderful he is to me. How he's kept me all these years. And he does get better every day, more precious. I just want to be at his feet and draw strength from his arm as I sit at his feet and grow in him and fall more in love with him. I want you today, open your heart, give him your life, and that's the best decision you'll ever make in life, to give your life to him.
My wonderful Lord, my
sing that also.
Thank you.
feel I should share with you another story about Mike Russell, the man that Brother Kenny talked about. That's a good friend of ours. I wish you all could have met him. The Lord's calling us away from the things of earth. And I saw that happening in Mike's life. He had that muscular dystrophy for 15 years, and he lost the ability to do, little by little, everything. In those last 2 months, I spent time with him in the hospital. He couldn't move at all, and he couldn't press the call button. His voice was very weak, and we tried to arrange to have a friend stay with him all the time. And I took some duty there some nights. You know, he lost the ability to swallow, so I couldn't offer him, can I bring you some snacks that you like? Can I bring you a drink that you like? There was no comfort food for him. And I asked him, do you want me to read anything to you? Do you want me to set up music for you? I only found out at his funeral that he liked, what kind of music?
Bluegrass
music. I didn't know. Well, we could have set something up. He said, no, I don't need that. I don't need that. I remember one time a brother was visiting there for a while with us, and as he got up to leave, Mike said, who won the game? I thought, who won the game? I didn't know Mike was interested in sports of any kind. It's the first I heard of that. And I don't know what sport it was or what team he was interested in, but the man answered something. I couldn't quite hear the answer. And then the man said, tonight's game is probably on right now. At the hospital, you have all kinds of options. You can get the news. You can get, any channel you want. So it's like, do you want me to turn it on for you? And Mike said, no. I'll find out about that eventually. What kind of sports fan doesn't need to see the game? It's on right now. You're paralyzed in the hospital. You have nothing to do. Nothing to do at all. And you don't care to watch the game. He didn't even need conversation. We did have good conversation. But he didn't need anything in this life. He didn't need anything at all. When I asked him what he wanted to do, he always said the same thing. All he said was, I just want to regard Jesus in my heart. That's all he did. That's all he wanted to do. He couldn't sleep half the times. I'd be trying to get some rest on that uncomfortable sofa that they give for visitors. I don't know why they do that to people. And sometimes I'd get up in the night and look at him, and he's wide awake, just staring straight ahead in that dark room, going through his trial. And he's regarding Jesus in his heart. And so that man lived a successful life. I want to be like him.
liveth in thee. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me.
Let's sing that. It's in our white book. It's a wonderful song. What a salvation. Christ lives in me. Thank you. Number 91.
Praise God. Let's stand.
His treasure I have in a temple.
Speaking to us through these testimonies, you're able to carry me through, Lord, whatever it is that is before me and what I'm, the challenge that I'm faced with, you're able, Lord. We thank you. We believe it and we praise you for it. Lord, we thank you for your constant abiding, Jesus, that we can live in your presence, that we can sanctify the Lord in our hearts. Always regard Jesus there. Oh, Father, you're able to bring us into that relationship and where Jesus is constantly being manifested in our hearts and then through us, Lord, to a dying world, that we share in your suffering. We come under the burdens that weigh upon your heart for a lost world, and we yield ourselves as instruments in your hands to touch others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're saying. We want to receive it into our hearts and let the Holy Spirit bring about the result he's after. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God, hallelujah.
Like a river, glorious is God's perfect peace.
Praise God. Let's sing the first verse again so we can all have the words in front of us. If we sing a song and you notice the person next to you isn't singing, poke them and make sure they're awake first of all. And if that's not the problem, they just don't know the words, and you can find it in the book for them. Help them out. You know, we're so used to singing these songs and we don't want anyone to feel like they can't participate. We want everyone to participate together. And so let's be mindful of each other in that way, okay? Praise God. Hit it, Natalie.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we love you so.